welcome to the Maitland Church podcast.
We're carrying on our study in 1 Corinthians. Last week we talked about God's wisdom and human wisdom, and this week he's still carrying on with God's wisdom and human wisdom, but moving a little bit further along the track. So Paul's dealing with the problems of disunity in the church, and because human wisdom was keeping believers from divine wisdom and from spiritual growth and unity, so that's kind of the track he's on. But Paul wants them to know God's wisdom as revealed by the Holy Spirit. So this is what he says, reading from 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 to 16. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden, that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understand it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things that God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. For what we have received is not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept things that come from the Spirit, but considers them foolish and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So in the first three verses, he makes the point that true wisdom is not humanly discovered. And in the last six verses, he explains that true wisdom is divinely revealed. In verse 6, it says, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age. And Paul says that the mature are those who believe in the message of the cross. Those who reject it aren't. And whoever the rulers of this age are, whether they're earthly rulers such as Pilate or Cephas, those representing Roman or Jewish wisdom is worldly wisdom. Or whether the demonic wisdom, whoever they are, Paul says that they're coming to nothing. They've been disarmed and defeated at the cross. There are four types of wisdom: earthly wisdom, intellectual wisdom, devilish wisdom, and godly wisdom, which is the wisdom from heaven. And there's also seven pillars of wisdom according to Proverbs, in Proverbs 9. And that's the fear of the Lord, instruction, knowledge, understanding, discretion, counsel, and reproof. And then there's earthly wisdom. Although the pursuit of wisdom is encouraged and commended by God, history shows that much of humanity's wisdom, that much of humanity has found wisdom without ever finding God. And Paul condemns the wisdom of this world because those who live according to earthly wisdom despise and reject Christ. And wisdom is described in the Bible, godly wisdom, as the skill of living as God intended, not just the ability to think well, but to act in a way that is good and godly. And intellectual or philosophical wisdom is using our knowledge and understanding to solve problems and work things out objectively in order to form a judgment. The word philosophy actually means love of wisdom. And every one of us have our own way of looking at the world, whether consciously we think about it or not. And there's devilish wisdom. In James 3, 14 to 15, we read, "But suppose your hearts are jealous and bitter. Suppose you're concerned only about getting ahead. Then don't brag about it and don't say no to the truth. Wisdom like that doesn't come down from heaven. It belongs to the earth. It doesn't come from the Holy Spirit. It comes from the devil. Things such as bitterness, envy, selfishness, gossip, earthly wisdom, unspiritual thoughts and ideas, disorder and evil, and hate and all that comes from the devil, and that's devilish wisdom. But we have got godly wisdom. In James 3:17, it says, "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is pure." That's the most important thing about it, and that's not all. It loves peace, it thinks about others, it obeys, it's full of mercy and good fruit, it's fair, and it doesn't pretend to be what it's not. The wisdom that comes from heaven is mercy, love, peace, consideration for others, sincerity, submission, and righteousness. And in verse 7 we read, "We declare God's wisdom, a mystery that was hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began." So Paul's discussing the wisdom of God and how it's revealed to those who believe in him. And he says, "God's wisdom has been hidden in times past, but is no longer hidden." And that mystery or sacred secret that was unknown to humanity was the saving grace of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ, revealed when Jesus rose from the dead, proving by his resurrection that he had power over sin and death. And in Romans 16 we read, "Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaimed about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen." And God's plan, God's mystery, God's sacred secret is still hidden today to unbelievers because they refuse to accept or choose to ignore it or simply haven't heard about it. Paul says human wisdom is a great hindrance to the gospel. Jesus was misunderstood and rejected by those who the world considered wise, and he still is today. And he goes on to say, "What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him." You know, we can't imagine all that God's got in store for us in the here and now and in eternity. We do know that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and that all those who believe and put their faith and their trust in Jesus will be with him forever. And those who reject him will be rejected. But until that time comes, we've still got the Holy Spirit who comforts and guides us and who indwells every single born-again Christian, everyone who has received Christ as their Saviour has received the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives us hope and strength and courage in this life to press on, for some people to endure hardships, real hardships. And he gives us the strength to resist temptation. And verse 10 refers to the deep things of God, meaning the things that about God that we can't understand or can't fathom at this time. We know all we need to know regarding salvation, and all we need to know in the here and now is in the Word of God. There's lots of things we don't know that God hasn't revealed to us because we don't really need to know them now. In 1 Corinthians, it says, "For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face, now in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." And in Isaiah, God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And these verses remind us of the greatness and the vastness of God and the wisdom from God's perspective, which transcends our limited understanding. But the Holy Spirit isn't the only spirit that is at large in our world. The spiritual forces in the heavenly realms as well. Demonic spirits. Spirits that we see like horoscopes, mediums, and other ungodly activities, such as Halloween. And there's also spirits of religion at large throughout the world. Any religion that rejects the gospel of Jesus Christ is demonic. And also, it might surprise you, there can be spirits of religion in the church. Paul, writing to the Colossians, says, "Why are you acting as though you still belong to the world, submitting to its rules? Don't touch, don't taste, don't handle. Rules based on human commands and teachings, all lacking any value." The Jewish rabbis and those kept adding to the Word of God, till in the end, like, people were just bowed down and burdened by all the rules. Legalism, it still attracts people today. People like to have order and follow things. And that's even within the church as well. I'm not talking about Maitland, but in the church there can be lots of legalism and rules to follow and this, that and the other that have nothing to do really with God or the Bible. And the thing is, religious rules, they can't change a person's heart. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. And in verse 12 to 13, it says, "What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with spiritual taught words." It says that we may understand or know. And since every believer has received the Spirit who is from God, every believer has access to spiritual wisdom. That doesn't mean that every believer has equal spiritual wisdom or that we will understand all spiritual mysteries. It does mean that every believer can understand the basics of the gospel, which is unattainable or undesirable by human wisdom. In verses 14 to 16, it says, "The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they're discerned only by the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." The person without the spirit, or the natural man, the materialist, the person who lives as if there's nothing beyond this physical life, has no comprehension of God. The natural man is where we all start life, life inherited from Adam. The natural man is unregenerated, not born again, not saved. And we live in a material world. But God wants us to enjoy life in this world as well, to eat, to sleep, to work, to have fun, to enjoy Him. Thank you. But life lived just on that level is without spiritual insight. So the natural man thinks, why waste time on spiritual things when we could be making money, living our life, having fun? The amount of people who say, you know, when you're dead, you're dead. Make the best of this life, you know, have a good time, do what you want, do what feels good to you. When you're dead, you're dead. Because the natural man doesn't want things of God, and he doesn't understand things of God, even if he wanted to, because they're spiritually discerned. And we can't expect the natural man to discern spiritual things because he's not saved. We didn't understand spiritual things before we were saved. I didn't. We need to hear the gospel. We need to respond to the gospel. We need to be born again to understand spiritual things, because without the Holy Spirit in us, we can't understand spiritual things. You know, the Holy Spirit gives us insight into some of God's plans, thoughts, and actions because we have the mind of Christ. Thank you. It's through the Holy Spirit in us that we can begin to know God's thoughts. We can talk with Him. We can expect answers to prayers, even though they may take some time. And sometimes we might not get the answers that we'd like. But the more time we spend with Christ praying, reading God's word, fellowshipping with each other, then the more we'll have the mind of Christ in us. An intimate relationship with Christ only comes from spending time in His presence and His word. I don't know what's going on behind me there. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Well, one thing we do know regarding the mind of the Lord is that He's in the business of saving people. It's a little bit of trivia here. According to the United Nations estimates, there are 7.5 billion people alive today on this planet. And the total number of humans who have ever lived is in the region of 106 to 108 billion. And you know what? God knows every single person who's ever lived and yet to come. And He knows every single thing about every single person. And He knows each one of us by name. He even knows the numbers of hairs on our head. And He knew I'd be standing here today talking to you. And He knew who'd be asleep and who'd be awake. God said, "So what is mankind that God is mindful of them? Human beings that He cares for them." Well, in John 3:16, He answers that question. "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." And one of the ways God is at work in our world today, He's still in the business of saving people. He's still looking. He's still seeking the lost. You know, at one point, for each one of us, God came looking for us. God came looking for me. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. I was in the lost department, and now I'm in the found department. And that's a challenge to any of us who's here or listening or watching online. What department are you in? Where are you? God calls each one of us. He knows us by name. If you're here today or listening and haven't responded to his call yet, you might be on the fence. You might be thinking, but you've never responded. Well, you're still in the lost department. There is no fence. You're either in one department or the other. And God is calling each person. It's God's will that none should perish, but all should come to eternal life. God doesn't want anybody to be lost. He loves every single person who's alive on this planet. Every single person is created by God. Not every single person is a child of God. Only those who've received Christ have the privilege of being called a child of God. And God's calling us and calling everyone because he wants us to be part of his plan. John 1:12 says, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, not of the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." If you've never received Jesus, put your hope and your trust in him today. Today's a good day to do it, because you don't even know if you'll be here tomorrow. There's a time to live and a time to die. We don't know when our time's up. None of us may be here tomorrow. We just never know. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "The right time is now. Today is the day of salvation." If there's anybody here, if there's anybody here who wants to talk to anybody about salvation, or they're not sure, then there's Rob, there's Dave, there's Matt and somebody else, and anyone you trust or know who is saved, ask them to pray for you. And if you want prayer anyhow, if you want prayer for anything, you know, just approach someone and ask them to pray for you. And anybody can pray for you. It doesn't have to be a leader. Anybody you can pray for you. Anybody who you feel comfortable with, anybody who you trust. You know, so wherever you are, whatever you're feeling, whatever your situation is, then don't go home without talking to someone about it, asking them to pray for you. Share. You don't have to share intimate details. You know, God loves you. I'm trying. God loves you. And he wants you to be healthy. He wants you to be whole. He wants to bless you. He wants to help you. And he cares about you. More than anybody else does, God cares about you. Amen.